6, they had a record called Hello, that was Dust, and just finished up with new noise from our friend Christian Montgomery and the Winter Kill Band, a new single called Leaving Texas. All right, it's 10 a.m., and we have a brand new edition of the Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico podcast with our friend Steve Ricardo coming up right here at WMFO.
Welcome to a special live episode of Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. We have a good one today. Tom Baker. Thanks, Mike.
Sure.
Mike's adjusting my mic as we speak. We have a good one today. Tom Baker's here. He's going to play a few songs for us in the studio in honor of the new solo album, Justine and Me, which is a fantastic record, a tribute to the late Justine Kovalt. So hang on for a few minutes, and Tom will be joining us. Hello, Mike Newman. On the board today.
Well, hello, good to see you, Mike. How you doing? It's been a little while.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm thawing out because you left us outside in the cold, freezing.
Here it comes.
Yep,
I knew that was coming.
So it's really exciting to have Tom Baker here. If you're not familiar with Tom, he has quite a catalog of great music since forming the Dirty Truckers back in around 99, I guess it was, and their release of the 2002 album, Bush League Romance. From that point on, it was one great release after another. There was even a Dirty Snakes record in there. Tom has put together some incredible lineups over the years, some of the best guitar players around. I always tell him that whenever I talk to him. He assembles these amazing guitar players and, you know, worked with Dave Minahan, Sir David Minahan, on many of those records as a co-producer. Above all, for me, Tom is like a really incredible songwriter. He has many great songs. We're going to talk about some of those later. He's one of my favorite songwriters, actually, especially from the Boston area. Before Tom plays for us, we're actually going to spin a track from the Justine and Me solo record. This is a great cover, a duet, in fact, with Justine Kovalt of the classic Steve Earle song, You're Still Standing There. I was really excited when I heard that Tom and Justine covered this one because it's one of my favorite duets, originally done by the great Steve Earle and the equally great Lucinda Williams. So here is Tom and Justine's version, and when we come back, Tom's going to play live for us here in the studio at WMFO.
Just when I get just to them, they slip away from me.
that, man. Waited for a long time for someone to cover that. You guys did an excellent job. You ready to go, Tom?
Yeah.
Tom's going to play a couple songs for us right here in the WMFO studio.
Right. Thanks for having me down. Appreciate it.
Glad to have you here.
This song's called Coming Back to No One. See. Is that going to be okay, Mike? Or?
Move the mic a little bit closer to the guitar, if you would.
Yeah.
Okay, that'll be okay.
Not sure.
Coming back to no one, we had a plan. You're coming back to no one, don't understand. Seems like yesterday that you said I'm your man. You're coming back to no one, it wasn't in our plan. Talk to me, I know you can. Talk to me, talk to me. With those rosy cheeks and infectious little smile, see you every night when I close my eyes a while. Talk to me, no, you can. Just talk to me, talk to me.
Something like that.
Yeah.
All right. That was that's one on the new record, Justine and Me. That is tune number 4 on the record. I think it's pretty obvious what that one's about. This next one is called Walking to the Ocean. it's kind of like the lyrics are pretty obvious as well. I kind of made a promise to Justine that if anything happened to her, I would walk into the ocean for her. So hasn't happened yet, but it might. Didn't mean to scare you, but I had something to prove. Couldn't find the one here. Till baby, I laid eyes on you. Picked you up in the air. Hazel eyes to confirm we found what we were searching for. No one could overturn. Walk into the ocean, made a promise to you. Walk into the ocean, babe, if something happened to you. Put up with some awful behavior. So did you kid too? Can't believe you actually stayed. Now a testament to you. Walk into the ocean, made a promise to you. Walk into the ocean, bed, and if something happened to you, whoa. See you slip away. They say I was robbed today.
back into the ocean. Made a promise to you. Walk into the ocean, babe, if something happened to you. Walk into the ocean, made a promise to you. Walk into the ocean, babe, if something happened to you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Steve, you want to grab that mic?
My fingers are still a little chilly from being outside. But
Tom, that was beautiful.
I think that was close enough, right? Right,
Steve? Yeah, close enough. That was fantastic, man. I loved it, man. Absolutely fantastic.
We got to introduce my friend Tad Overbaugh here. He's my right-hand man, so he's sitting next to me. So
yes. You know, Dave Navarro has his friend Todd. You're not sure of his role, but he's got a role. You're just not sure. He does many things. So I'm Todd.
I'm a big
fan. But I'm just a Tad.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of show crashers. So thank you for crashing my show here today.
Nice. And, nice. Yeah.
Thanks for not kicking me back into the cold.
Yeah, it's a little nippy out there, but we're not going to bust Mike Newman's chops.
No, probably will.
That sounded really good, man. Is it hard for you to get up in the morning? Like, it's only like 10 o'clock in the morning and start singing? I mean, because you're a late night guy, right?
I'm a late night guy, yeah. It was a little difficult. It was a lot of hacking and inhaler using this morning.
Yeah, but, I know when I first asked you about this, you're a little, I don't know if I can do that early in the morning. But
no, it's good.
And you play two songs off the new record.
Yeah.
Great,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Is it easier for you now that, I'm sure it's not easy, but is it easier for you to talk about Justine now that a little more time has passed?
Yeah. It's actually really good. I think I talk about her a lot. Tad knows we hang out a lot.
Yeah.
But I feel like talking about her is, you know, she's still kind of part of us, right?
Yeah.
Part of our gang, and it's good.
Yeah, the tone is more of, I think, a celebration of the time together versus getting over the shock of the loss that happened in the beginning. And, yeah it's still kind of like she's with us. We'll be talking about stuff that's going on in music. We were talking about it earlier, and there she is, and it's like, oh, maybe we just haven't seen her in 4 months or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's a familiar trend around the whole city of Boston, I think. I can't remember much time that ever goes by when someone doesn't bring her up.
I know. That's the impact she made just so many people. You know, just Mike, you know that.
I just want to say that since we lost her in my place here at WMFO, I've made sure to play her music, you know, at least like twice a month.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
And
I'm going to continue to do that because we miss her.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And but it doesn't get easier, but it's kind of honoring her legacy to like talk about her a lot.
Yeah. And the tribute show that happened, it's been a little while now, that was fantastic.
Yeah, that was really good. That was
I was very excited by the whole night and the performers and the whole vibe in the room.
Yeah.
It was great. And you know, Red on Red Records was just getting off the ground, really.
Really was, and, yeah. Yeah, it was so new, and she had a ton of stuff coming out and just lined up. Back to that tribute show, her daughter Haley did a great job.
The Croaks.
The Croaks, that band is fantastic.
Yeah, they're really on the rise now.
I know.
Man. They're getting better and better every time you see them. You know?
They just played with the Bags.
Yeah.
The Bags at that reunion show.
Yeah, I found her, the best description I think I've come up with is I call her an exciter in the music scene. I feel like she got a lot of people motivated to just be like, I've done enough or whatever, and just go out and play more, record more, just maybe have a good attitude and just have fun even. And you can't have enough people like that in the music community.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, when Justine was on this show, must have been like 3 years ago, we talked about malachite a lot because I was living in California when someone sent me a malachite tape.
Yeah.
And I was
like,
cassette tape, of course, demo.
Right, right.
And I was like, what in the world is this? And it was like an incredible band, but unfortunately their original singer bolted and it kind of like lost the momentum. They reformed with, you know, Nancy and Jen Cobran. It was good, but that original singer, the buzz was like, did you ever see Malachite back then?
I did see him a few times. My friend Tom Devaney, they were, they played the Rumble, Bulkhead, and Malachite was on their night at, I think it was at the Paradise or something. So yeah, I did see him a few times, but you know, I was more like an indie rock guy, and they were metal chicks, and so I didn't cross paths with them too much.
Nana was probably around that time.
Yeah,
right?
It was around that time.
Yeah. Did you know Justine at all back then?
I didn't. I knew who she was, but we didn't meet. And she and I talked about it many times. She's like, I don't know how we didn't meet or become friends for, you know, many years, in a small scene. You know,
do you remember when you did meet?
He was beat up by her once. He doesn't remember it, but it happened.
Yeah, she beat me down. I met her at TT the Bears. She had, I guess she had like, she got one night out away from the kid, and Jay Allen and her showed up at TT the Bears, and it was the other side of the Bear night, so acoustic people on one side of TT's, and Jay introduced me to her, and she's like, so you're going to buy me a drink or what? I'm like, who is this broad? I distinctly remember when I first met her.
Now, I know you recorded You're Still Standing There, which we played earlier. You guys recorded that together.
Yeah.
Talk about the rest of the record and how it all came together. And I know you did it with Ed
Reamer. Ed Reamer.
Talk about that and the people that played on it. Tad played on it as well on a couple songs.
Tad's on it. So I've got a residency at Plow and Stars called Double Down with Baker. So I use most of the Double Down band, Jim Bunny on guitar, John Sheeran on bass, Paul Delmonico, Dell on drums, and then Tad.
Dave Lieb.
And Dave Lieb on keys, so I use most of that band. The tunes are written right after when Justine passed, and kind of hammered them out, and then took about 8 months maybe to finish them all up at Ed Reamer's piecemeal. So those guys are the backing band, and then a couple of guest stars come in, and that was it.
Was it difficult for you to do these songs? I mean, even writing them, when you started writing them, was it hard to sing them?
You know what's funny? It was, Steve, it was hard to finish them.
Hard to finish.
Yeah. So I could get going, and then I'm like, I just can't. I got to put this one down for like 2 weeks and then come back to it. So, yeah. It wasn't hard to get the titles. I have twice as many titles and stuff. And I could start all the tunes, but just finishing them was painful.
I would think, I was just going to say that. I would think you get the emotion flowing, and it's like, I got to take a break.
Right. I got to put this down.
How am I going to complete this thought?
Yeah.
Because I'm still processing everything. That must have been really hard.
Yeah.
And hopefully now that it's all done, it's cathartic, I hope.
Mike. No, that's a perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
But it's also a celebration, so I'm proud of it, and... and now I kind of wish I did like 10 more tunes, and you know.
Well, I was going to ask you, are there other songs that didn't make it on the record?
There are a couple that didn't make it, but again, they weren't fully finished, so I wasn't you know, super confident about it. So they'll come out on another one somewhere down the line. So.
And I'm sure when you went to Lou with this at Rumbar Records, he was like, "Yes, let's."
He didn't even flinch. He Lou's been so good to me and all my bands, just putting everything out.
Yeah, you have a long history with Lou.
Yeah, Dirty Trucker stuff, and he's the one that will pull together like a greatest hits or best of, and like just put it out. So like he's amazing at it. And
yeah, that Best of the Dirty Truckers has got like 20-something songs.
Yeah, it's got like 22 songs. And then he did another one called Second Dose, where the tunes that didn't make the Best of made it on that Second Dose record. He's been excellent, super supportive with everything I'm doing musically. Yeah. So
he's a good curator. Once he becomes fan of a band, he's like, what if we did this or that?
And he's always telling me to do more. He's like, when are you going to record more? I'm like,
You know what I wanted to ask you, Tom? You've been recording since the 90s. How is your approach to songwriting and recording evolved over the years and changed? I know you worked a lot with Minahan. Maybe talk about the songwriting and the recording and how it has evolved.
Yeah. Definitely. I think in the beginning, I would my songwriting was like a million chords with a million chord changes and different tempos and stuff. And now it's devolved or
simplified
evolved
the songs
into totally simple, two chord songs or whatever. But it's still super exciting to go and record with Dave or anyone, that is willing to take the time to set up some mics and, push record. But Dave and I have an awesome history of just having fun. He makes it really easy when you go and record, right, Ted? You're like super comfortable so that you can be silly and like get the best take without kind of freaking out.
And Dave's very good about getting you to shine in your best light.
Yeah.
He captures the essence of people in their best light. And that's what's special about going, aside from the fun factor there.
But yeah, he gets the best take out of you. He'll never say he doesn't like a take, but he'll always say, "I think you got one more in you."
Yeah.
So that's the kind way of saying that wasn't your best take.
Yeah. Yeah. When you go all the way back to the beginning of your relationship with Minahan, was it his small room that he had on Boylston Street?
Yeah, on Boylston. Right. So we had a room, room 7, which was in the basement. It was like a meat locker to open. We're underneath a bar.
Baseball
tavern. Are you the one that told me you had a leak in your room one time?
They're coolers.
The baseball tavern coolers, they used ice. They didn't have refrigeration. So in the summer, the coolers would leak into our practice space.
I was in that room too, and the ceiling would drip down on you. It's like, all right.
We definitely shortened our lives by being in that room.
Toxic room, and it had this serial killer steel door that slid sideways, and then right next to it, almost just for effect, was the boiler room. And you could open the door, and if I can be blunt here, a lot of people were too lazy to go to the bathroom, they pee in the boiler room,
right?
You'd see all these flames and stuff, and then you go back to the serial killer room. And anyways, Dave's studio and the baseball tavern were just above that.
Yeah. So that's how I got to know Minahan, because he was in that building. And did some early recording there, and the first record, Bush League Romance, we did there, and luckily he's all over that record for guitar playing. It's amazing. Yeah.
That's actually how we became friends. Dave introduced us. You were dropping a copy of that off to him when I was recording there. '99. So
yeah.
Yeah, I used to love. I had a closet in that the 99 Alvin Long, 1312 Boylston Street. The building's not there anymore.
No, it's a high rise.
Yeah,
now.
The Red Sox. The Red Sox bought the whole
block.
Union Oyster House or something, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know.
Condos above it.
Well, I was over on Boylston Street like a year ago, I think, and I hadn't been over there in a while. I didn't even recognize the street, man.
It's completely different. It's totally different. Yeah.
But back then we had the Linwood, so you'd go to the Linwood, and then you'd. I remember going there at 2 o'clock in the morning many times and Roadsaw usually had a party going on down in their space.
Oh, right, yeah.
And there were a lot of good bands in that building.
Yep.
And studios.
Yeah, New Alliance was in there for a long time.
Yep.
So that was a great building. So that's how you kind of meet people outside your scene, is coming and going from that rehearsal space.
Yeah.
Because I knew the neighborhoods, I took a chance, like, Dave left something on a board saying, if anyone wants to do some recording, pull this tab and call me. So I did. And
it started off really small. Capertown Sound was what he used to call it. And then he got John Hartcorn's old room, which the one you're talking about, John Hartcorn, neighborhood guy. And I think Danny Kastner had that room for a little while. And then Dave moved down there. Next thing you know, he was you know, getting bigger and bigger, and everyone wanted to record with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And his name is on a million records now. And it's great because I've known Minahan for a long time, and he's really evolved into like one hell of a engineer.
Oh, he's a great. His incredible. Attention to detail is impressive. Like,
he pays attention to all the details.
Oh my God!
And they all those little things add up to something great at the end. Yep. You know, when you make a recording, you're like, let's not worry about that. And you say that too many times, and then pretty soon the end product is like, not so special.
Tad mentioned that you're actually over there right now.
Yeah.
What are you doing? A whole record or songs?
I think it's going to be 7 or 8 songs. And I've been working on it the last year and a half or so. So hopefully it's out soon. Probably by the end of summer, maybe. If I got to get some things in order, the artwork and all that.
Yeah.
Takes a while. That's the hardest part, believe it or not. You're like, what the heck is the little 2-inch by 2-inch thing going on?
UPC code. You got to have that.
You know, I asked you about your songwriting before, and you did mention you changed a little, so you kind of answered this a little bit. But is there a new, a new routine that you're going through now when you're writing, or is it the same routine? Like, do you write out of force, or do you write out of emotion?
No.
Obviously, this record's out of emotion.
Yeah, that's out of emotion. No, it's never forced. It's always, you know, Tad and I walk around, and we will hum different, like, melodies into, you know, our phones, and then you're like, oh, okay, I gotta remember to go record that at home when I get home.
Do you guys write together, ever?
We've sometimes used to, when you lived in JP, right?
Yeah,
we had that attic, and we'd sometimes share what we had new, and like, what if you did that there, and
right,
back and forth. So a little bit of that, but I don't think we've
never
penned the whole thing together.
No.
I suck at the co-write thing. I'm better off sharing. What do you think?
How
could this be better?
I kind of suck at it too. So I'm pretty much like
I'm
a solo.
I'm
a solo writer.
But you know what's interesting? You're saying it's funny. I used to play that way too with all the chords and everything, and then I got to the point where I just like to get a good title now and a concept and chase down what the lyrics might be for the chorus, build that, and then fit the verses in after. But
yeah, that's
makes it easier than sitting there like, what the heck am I going to write over this?
This is like a songwriting 101 class we're having here.
It's like songwriting therapy.
It's all about the lesson to be learned is it's all about making it as simple as you can for yourself.
Right.
So say something you want to say and not go through hell trying to write the tune.
You know, a lot of people don't really understand the whole process, like when a songwriter comes in with the song and then the band gets involved in the arrangements.
Yeah.
Does that happen with you a lot?
I'd never.
So, I mean,
this is how it goes.
Seriously,
not allowed to rearrange anything.
Are you joking?
I'm not. excuse me. They never rearrange the tune, but I never write people's parts for them. So John Sheeran, the bass player, I'll send him a demo of the thing, the new tune. I'll play bass on the demo, drums, guitar, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's just a rough sketch of what the tune is. Do whatever you want on bass.
What about Lynch? You worked with John Lynch a lot on
a
lot of records. Yep.
Lynchy tries to change everything, but he gets shot down.
He seems like he would be a little outspoken.
Well, he's always funny. He's like Bakes TYD. I'm like, Lynchy, what does TYD mean? Trust your drummer. I'm like, I'm trusting you, but you're not changing the tune.
I forget who said the quote, but someone once said, if you want to know what's really going on in the band, ask the drummer. They know everything that's going on in the band.
Yeah.
You've been doing this for a long time. What's been the most fulfilling aspect of it for you these days compared to when you first started?
Yeah. Even though it's kind of a pain in the butt, it's the monthly residency we do at the Planet Stars. It's a super small place. We play on the floor, like as far away as you and I are, Steve, arm's length. But you get great feedback from the audience. And it makes me a better player because we'll do 22 songs in a night.
22.
Yeah. So we'll do 11, take a quick break. I'll pass around the tip jar, and then we'll do like 11 more. That's been the most fun for me, is just a constant gigging once a month with that.
Yeah, you've been posting the playlists a lot.
Yeah,
I was,
yeah,
like, was going to ask you what goes into that, selecting, because you have a huge catalog.
Yeah, yeah. And, that, you know, we do a lot of covers just to keep it interesting for everyone. I just go and I pick the tunes. I get the version of the tune we're going to do, and I send the list to everybody, and people listen to it on their own. They show up, and we just do it. No practice.
Who are some of your favorite people you like to do this with?
Well, so the Double Down, like John Sheeran is great at doing this. Dell is the drummer. So, yeah, I just send them a list of tunes. They learn it on their own. We just show up that night, and we wing it.
Do a lot of people sit in, too?
Well, it's more of a...
Not that many.
Jim Bunny and Dave are the other guys, but there's a core lineup, and then sometimes there's subs that were they can't make it that month.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
I think that ups your game, too, because you have to adjust
mixing
to playing
new
with
people
different
in,
players.
Yeah. Right.
Semi-frequently.
But we don't have many people sit in. We used to have, like, a guest band, but then I got greedy, and I'm like, I want to do 22 songs, not just 11, so we took it over and have the whole night, so it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
What do you think about what's happened with the music scene now compared to when you first started playing in the 90s in terms of, like, let's talk about just the playing out aspect of it for a minute.
I think it's way harder playing out now because there's limited clubs, if any, for, like, you know, small to medium-sized rock bands. Like, we could probably count maybe five clubs. That's it. Whereas when I started playing in, let's say, 88, there was like 20 places to play. And you could kind of play, you know, once a week, you know, in different spots of the city. But now they're just so limited live places. It's pretty tough.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
And I also feel more pressure when we do play because if there's so many people trying to get into these places, and you want to have a good turnout, but a good show.
We want to be invited back, too.
You know, in the old days, it's like, that show, it's all right if it's, you know, we're having fun, it's a little bit ragged, but now it's like, we don't really need you guys to come back,
right.
You know?
Yeah. Do you remember that place, Doc's Place?
Doc's Place.
Doc's Place. It was down by... Boston City Hospital. It was short-lived.
I don't know that place.
It was short-lived, and we played there once. It was terrible, but it was like, well, we're going to get in, we're just going to get out of here. So, that, you know, you have those places that were weird enough to let you play, but they come and go, right?
Yeah.
So you don't even remember Doc's Place.
Not have been here.
Oh, you might not have been here. Yeah, but
I was going to ask you, actually, what, you know, everyone would always say the Rat, but what are some of the places that you do remember playing that you miss? That would be, you know, TT the Bears, obviously, is a big one on the list.
Yeah, TT's was definitely one of my favorite places. Believe it or not, Bunratty's was a great place.
Bunratty's.
Yeah. That was like a nice big stage, and that was fun. Remember when Thunder Road was open for a little
Thunder
bit
Road.
In Somerville? That was a great stage.
I like that. Well, it was the old Linwood, right?
Became church.
Church. Oh, church, yeah.
Before church got all those TVs, I thought it was a good spot.
I actually, when I moved back here, I booked the Linwood for like a couple of years. I was really the first booking agent they ever had.
Oh,
Kevin
no
Norton asked me to book it when I left A&M and I came here. And we had some good shows there. I booked Nashville Pussy there a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, Nana played there.
I went to that Nashville Pussy.
I played at the Linwood. You must have booked some.
Yeah, definitely.
I was in way back then. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was just very raw. And
I'm glad you said the Linwood because I love talking about the Linwood. Mm-hmm. It was a real dive bar.
Yeah, it was a legit dive bar. Yeah.
Yep. And O'Brien's became the next one. You know, there were a few like that.
Right.
You know, the old man bar, we'd call them, that became the cool place.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the Abbey, right?
The Abbey Lounge.
Oh, the Abbey was a great place to play.
And I liked it wasn't discriminating. Like, almost everybody could play there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a certain sector. of the music community, you know.
That's actually where I met Lou and Lisa, was at the Abbey.
I almost said that earlier, but I didn't want to hijack your...
No, I love that. You know, I did these Tuesday night acoustic shows there for a while. Andrea just let me book. And then I got Sylvain. You know, we brought Sylvain down. I don't know if you're at that show, but that
was not. But that's pretty cool.
The capacity was 110, and we, like, sold every single possible ticket that you could.
Every inch of that place.
Yeah, it was just an incredible night.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I don't know what's there now, but it's kind of sad, I think, what has happened to the old man bar thing. You know, it's not happening anymore.
You got to go out to your hometown, Worcester. Right? You got to go out there.
Yeah, Worcester.
Find the places out there. But yeah, we're getting pushed out. Even places like the Burn now are in jeopardy of.
Really?
Possibly.
Oh, yeah, they said they might build a skyscraper.
The whole block might just be obliterated.
Might be,
condos.
Which is too bad.
But the thing that was really important about those venues, especially the Abbey, so many people would come and just hang out, even if you weren't playing, and you met all these people in the scene, and then you're doing shows together with other people that you've met, and the whole thing just kind of grew, from... You know, just hanging and stuff, and there's so few venues you can do that now.
Yeah, that's. I think the scene is
definitely...
It doesn't
foster things like it used to. Granted, everyone's a little older, but still, you know, we're still meet people to play with.
Right.
Know?
You know, I don't go out as much as I used to anymore, but now when you go out and you see a lot of the older people there, you start to wonder, how long is this really going to go on for?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Especially the bands, too. I mean, there's bands like Muck and the Myers that have been, you know, guys that have been around playing for a long time. You know, how long is this really going to last? You know, we might have seen the best of it.
Yeah.
There was first wave. We could be last wave. Right?
We could be, yeah.
I actually think it with this age group, it might be. I mean, the kids don't seem to go out and see live music unless it's a bigger venue these days.
Yeah, it's a basement show. So they put on a lot of basement shows.
Which good for them.
Yeah.
Bypassing everything to still do music.
You know? Right.
I know they're trying to do more genre-free kind of shows where you could have different kinds of genres on the same bill. Yeah. What do you guys think of that?
I think it's great.
I like it.
The 60s, they did all the time. You know, they'd have like jazz guys with, you know, Led Zeppelin. So,
you see these festivals like Boston Calling and everything else, they're very diverse. You know, there's lots of stuff.
Yeah.
It makes it more fun. You can, I don't know, there's something great about a like minded bill, but it also can be boring sometimes.
Right, it could be two
three
same,
of the same,
samey. Yeah,
four of the same.
I know some people don't like it when you got a metal band and a pop band on the same. I don't mind it. I like the diversity.
Yeah, I like it.
I mentioned this to you guys out front, and Tad got really excited about this. our favorite top five Tom Baker songs. And it was really hard for me to make my list, but I got a few songs here. But Tad, what do you give us a start on that?
So I failed at what you asked for. My top five is a top seven. So
nice.
I tried to whittle it down. That was quick. But all right, so you want me to list them really fast?
Yeah, you do yours. I want to see if you have any
mind on
your list.
I'll try to just pick five of these seven. So I have to put Boston Wrangler at the top.
Oh,
that's
nice.
One of my favorites. When I first met Tom, going back to the Bush League record, Settle Down, killer
Settle
song.
Settle Down.
Yep.
You know, about a relationship
true
going
story.
Sideways
true
and throwing pottery at Tom and all this stuff. And then, you know, later you did that record, I think, that has three of my favorite songs on it, but Out of Focus, Weird Romance.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, on the new record, I know, and this isn't just because I...
Just because you're on it?
Not just because I'm on it. When you said Coming Back to No One, it literally is like you carved out a piece of your torso and handed it over and said, play on this. It's such a raw but beautiful song.
And
talk about capturing exactly what nobody wants to talk about what your life is like after that.
Yeah, it's like a big hole was left there.
You actually picked one of my top five, Out of Focus. I absolutely adore
very
that
good.
Song. It's definitely one of them. But here, this might surprise you a little bit.
Because
I went back and the Tisbury Joneser record.
Yes.
There's a song on that record, Georgia Women. Yeah. It's like a blues song. It's you and Minahan, basically.
Yeah.
And you're playing harmonica, and he's playing lead guitar. Talk about what that was like, because you guys really... It was like a total blues song, basically.
Right, well, it was a cover song.
Oh, that's a cover? Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't know you'd write that.
We didn't write that one.
Who wrote that song?
Who the heck wrote that one? I'm like drawing a blank here
it's
on his
funny,
name.
When I saw that,
I don't think I saw a songwriting credit on the
record. Oh, no, it should be on there.
I missed it. Sorry about that. I really got off to a bad start here.
No, that's
Tom
right.
Baker songs.
It's called
Georgia Women.
Georgia Women, yeah.
It was the last song on the record.
Oh, freaking yeah.
But anyways, I remember because the blues harmonica.
Hank Williams Jr.
Right?
No, he covered it. It's like a real famous blues guy's.
You're a good harmonica player, by the way, Tom.
Well, I almost brought the harmonica today, and I tried it out last night. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to pull it off this morning. It's too early, but...
Anyways, I like that because I thought you and Minahan together were really good on
that
track.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we had a lot of fun doing that one.
I love the song Hotel Highway View.
Yeah.
What's the story behind that track?
I like that one, too, actually.
So, I lived in Rhode Island for a while. I was married to a great person, Annie Atherton. We're still pals today. Not married, though. And we wanted to go away for a vacation, but we didn't really have enough money. So we went from Providence, and we rented a hotel room at TF Green. And so we could just... It was like a half hour away from our house, if that.
The airport, you mean.
The airport, yeah, airport. So, so this is us going on a mini vacation to a hotel to get the view of the runway, and that was the hotel highway view.
Oh, that's
highways
funny.
On one
I never
side.
Knew what that one was about.
The airport was on the other side. Yeah.
I also had got a finder on my list because is that the song where you the waitress?
Yeah. When that's basically my Waitress in the Sky song. So got a finder like. Where's the lady giving the drinks on this flight? Yeah, that was like, you know, I got to find her. Like, it's the last, you know.
Cancel It, another good one that just popped into my head.
Yeah, Cancel's a great one.
I think I picked a few Dirty Snake songs there.
Yeah, got to find her, that's a Snake song. Yeah. And Cancel It is a Dirty Snake song, yep.
So what's next? I know you just put this record out, and I know you do your weekly thing.
Yeah.
What do you want to do now, Tom?
I'm just gonna still woodshed some new songs. I'll probably go back into the studio in a couple months and piecemeal together another record. So just kind of the same old process, but no deadlines or anything. So make sure that when I feel good about a batch of tunes, I'll go and record some more.
Nice. So, yeah. And you know, you've got a lot of different places you can work now. You work with Ed, you work with Dave.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. I do a bunch of stuff at home and
How'd you guys meet, by the way, you two?
Well, that's when it was Dave Minahan actually in the Old Woolly.
Yeah.
I was recording an EP back with my other band, The Kickbacks, way back.
Right.
And Tom had come in to drop off Bush League Romance.
Oh, yeah, just got pressed.
To Dave, and he introduced us, and we just kind of became fast friends and had a lot in common.
Yeah, we were playing similar style music.
And it's funny, I remember we met there, and then I saw him at TT's. He's like, we should hang out sometime. Come to my house, we'll cook some cheeseburgers or something. and I didn't follow up. It was funny because, you know, this is without the phones and everything back then. I didn't have your number, but I bumped into him again, and you probably don't remember all this. He's like, hey, I thought we were supposed to hang out. And I'm like, let's do it. Somehow it didn't, you know, I thought he was just maybe had a few too many. He was talking about grilling and stuff.
You should have shot back. You know, the phone works both ways. I could have called you.
Yeah, so anyways, and when he started the Dirty Truckers, it had been recorded, but I played guitar with them. Like, we kind of shared lead guitar duties and stuff for 4 years. And then I had to drop out because my first kid was born. And my wife's like, you got to pick one band you're in.
Two
bands.
Yeah, Tad was on the Washed and Ready album.
Yes, we recorded that with Richard Marr in the greenhouse. Yeah, yep. Before that's demoed down.
Oh, that,
yeah, yeah, that's gone.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about some classic places that got taken down today. The greenhouse,
right? That was awesome. Yeah. We're in the basement with like stone up on the wall.
Yeah.
You know, dirt. It was crazy.
It was
rats.
Big rats. Yeah. And Richard, the control woman's upstairs. We're in the basement. Yeah, it was. Yeah. I like working with Richard.
Yeah, there's a condo there now, too, you know.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I know, all the characters, it's like a bunch of teeth pulled, you know.
Yeah.
Richard shut down his place in Salem, and he moved to New Hampshire, I guess.
Oh, really?
He's not in Salem anymore.
Oh, well, I didn't know.
I live in Swampscott now, and it's too expensive up there in Salem. I bet he had to get out of there because of that.
Oh, really?
No, I don't know for sure. I'm just speculating.
Does he have a studio in New Hampshire?
I guess he's building a new studio. We're looking around because there's this weird noise that all of a sudden came out of nowhere.
I thought it was someone's phone buzzing, you know?
I know you picked up your
Amber
phone.
Amber Alert or something.
Right.
Well, you know, thanks, Tom, for coming down, man.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. When I talked to Mike Newman about having live guests down here, you popped into my head right away.
Cool.
And I'm glad you could do this. And I'm glad you brought Tad.
Yeah.
We're going to get Tad on the show.
Let me crash the party here. It's been really fun.
Yeah.
Nice
to meet you too, Steve.
Definitely. And we'll do something, man. We'll talk about something else.
Yeah.
You know, you folks out there can reach me anytime at twistedrico@gmail.com. We got Facebook, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, Tumblr, YouTube, a TikTok page where you can watch clips. I'll probably throw up a video of Tom playing on there. You know, this is Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. We're going to keep the rock and roll alive. And we're going to play one more song from the album, actually. We're going to play Where's My Baby Now. I really, really like this one. It's the last song on the Justine and Me album. Thanks a lot, fellas.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
my baby now. Can't you feel my yearn? Where's my baby now? Where's my baby now?
WMFO Medford 10:52 in the morning. I'm Mike. Thanks to Steve and Tom and Tad. Really, really appreciate having all those guys here. In the few minutes I've got left, I got a little bit of new noise and maybe a free form or two. Going to start off with one new noise by The Convenience. This is Dub Vultures here at WMFO.
Thank you.
hits, WMFO Medford, 10:58 in the morning. I'm Mike. Thanks so much for listening today. Appreciate it. Thanks to Smitty for coming in. And again, thanks to Tom and Tad and Steve Ricardo. And let's see, we played Dub Vultures by The Convenience for New Noise. And then, of course, Classic by Squeeze from Sweets from a Stranger. That was Annie, Get Your Gun. And, you know, Jane, I'm not going to tell you to get your gun, but I'll just say good morning, Jane.
Well, good morning, Mike. Great show this morning, as always.
Thank you.
I love that you feature, you know, people that are really hardworking musicians and playing live.
These guys are amazing.
And, you know, it's great. Go out and see live music, folks.
I know. You heard about the barn?
Yeah.
From the people that went, it seems like it's a damn foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, they're going to open McCarthy's, and it's going to be very interesting in the old Christopher space.
Right.
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens in there. But yeah, it
asked for. I mean, I'm glad about that space opening up again and expanded and everything.
Yep.
McCarthy's, but I mean the Barn.
I know. Iconic, right?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so happy to see you. What are you doing today on Something About the Women?
Today, Mike. No six-pack at noon today, because it's an entire keg of covers today. We are doing a cover show.
There's a little alliteration there, kind of.
I try. So, yes, a two-hour show featuring cover songs. So,
you should see her, everybody. Her mind is ticking away.
Spin.
Yeah.
When I first put together, you know, I did like a brain dump, and I had 4 hours of music, so...
That's too much.
Yes, it's too much. So I got it down to just about two, and...